Reading from the book of Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all of the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Eliza, son of Shaphan, and to Jemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers you, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile."
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here, and thank you for reading. That was wonderful. Some big words in there, but thank you for reading. That was really appreciated. And again, it's wonderful to join with you here this morning. Time just seems to have flown, doesn't it? It really does. So as I think back to the last time I was here, it was your anniversary service, and it was so good to be part of your 60 anniversary celebrations back in July, and to celebrate with you 60 years. It was such a wonderful weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, great to see so many people here over those 2 days. And again, it's just so good to be here with you all this morning to share with you all from God's Word. So as you have heard just in the reading before us, this morning we're going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah. Very big book, lots in it. I'm going to be specifically focusing on Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14, and looking at God's people who were taken into exile. Simply put, they were aliens in a foreign land. They were a people who felt abandoned, who felt rootless, who felt vulnerable, and even orphaned. And I wonder this morning if there are any of us who might feel like we have been abandoned, or we might be feeling rootless, or vulnerable, or even orphaned. If you feel this way this morning, then please hear me when I say that you are not alone. Over the past few years, I've met many believers who, like myself, have experienced times of crisis and experienced a variety of emotions. Therefore, I would suggest that within this passage before us, here potentially is a bridge to any generation of God's people. Jeremiah 29 finds itself a part of the scriptural witness to God's people who were addressed as pilgrims, as wandering people, even as aliens whose true home is with the Lord. So together, I just want us to explore this passage that we might find encouragement for our own journey as well as for us all as the people of God. That's my prayer for all of us, that we would be encouraged this morning from God's word. And I know there might be some here today who enjoy colouring and reflecting on scripture. So this morning, if within my talk you find yourself being a bit overwhelmed with the information before you, I've just simply placed at the back some sheets which contain the verse that I think is very familiar to all of us, that is found within our passage before us, where it says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future."
I have a cushion cover with those words.
Do you? Yes. Words that have meant a lot to me throughout my life, and I can recall many times on many occasions where friends, family have shared these verses with me and have meant a lot to me. And my hope today is that we can look at the passage around this verse that will give us much encouragement for our journey before us. So please, if you find it helpful, even while I'm speaking, if you just want to simply colour and reflect on those words, please do. My hope is that you will be encouraged this morning. So in Jeremiah 29, we find the text of a letter sent to the exiles, which has important connections to chapters 27 and 28 of Jeremiah. It's important that we look at it in its context. In those earlier chapters, they assert that the exile in Babylon after 598 will be extended over a long time. At the same time, there was a period of unrest all over the Babylonian Empire, and prophets both in Jerusalem and in Babylon were proclaiming the imminent ending of exile. It is within this context that the prophet Jeremiah sent a letter to the exiles, which gives attention to those in exile since 598 who must find ways to live faithfully and hopefully in the midst of exile. As the main emphasis of this letter is that the exile will be long and unavoidable, but it will not last forever. Exile is the place where God's faithful promises work a profound newness. It's good just to hold those words in your minds. Exile is a place where God's faithful promises work a profound newness. Moving on to Jeremiah 29, verses 5 to 6. Judah is to build, plant, marry, and to have their sons and daughters marry. The people were to settle down. Now, these instructions were contrary to what were being given by the prophets in Babylon and were revolutionary. Farming, marrying, giving in marriage were to be part of daily living. It was a far cry from the words of the optimistic prophets who declared that the exile would be over in 2 years. Therefore, Judah was to prepare for the long term, as the exile would extend beyond the present generation. Babylon was to be regarded as their new home, and such activities were expressions of the divine will for those in exile. But was this the time for Judah to shrink back in exile? No. Even in exile, Judah should live life to the fullest possible extent. And it's important to note that we can draw for ourselves that in troubled times, life should not grind to a halt. In an unpleasant or distressing situation, we must adjust and keep moving, living life to the full and making the most of every opportunity. It's so important when we face those challenging times, those difficult times, that we keep going, that we keep trusting, that we keep living faithfully before God, making the most of every opportunity. Next, in Jeremiah 29 and verse 7, Judah is given further instruction to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which they have been carried into exile. At the same time, they are to pray to the Lord for it. Now, Jeremiah, by these words, cast the people completely adrift from all those things that they had depended on and which they regarded as essential to their own well-being. A nation state, kingship, an army, national borders, the temple. Judah was being instructed not to depend on these things, but instead look to God. God could give the nation new perspectives and a new understanding of their calling. Therefore, Judah's present situation should be accepted, and the people should make the best of their divinely ordained situation, and even to pray for Babylon. We might find it difficult to pray for those in authority, but that's where our prayers are most needed. Earlier we were having a time of intercessory prayer, and it's so important that we intercede for those around us. And it's so important when we enter times of trouble or sudden change that we continue to pray diligently and move ahead, doing whatever we can rather than giving up because of fear or uncertainty. It's so important in the mission of God that we continue to pray. According to Chester and Timmis, passionate engagement with the world in mission is passionate engagement with God in petition. Both run side by side. When we're involved in the mission of God, we continue to petition God and to cry out to God on behalf of those in need around us. Moving on, in Jeremiah 29 and verse 8, Judah is given further instruction to not allow the prophets and diviners deceive them. The text now returns to the recurring problem of false prophets, as already seen in chapters 23 and 27 to 28. The false prophets had told the people that their stay would be short. That's what they were saying. Therefore, it was important for Jeremiah to assert that this was a falsehood, propagated in the name of God, who had not sent them. Therefore, it is clear that Jeremiah was confronting the false prophets who were prophesying lies. The threat to the Jews is that they will be talked out of the reality of exile, invited to deny the real place where they must live out their faith. Therefore, it was important for Judah not to listen to the false prophets, but instead, the people should accept their present circumstances and seek to live out their faith. This was going to be a long time. And here the people are encouraged to keep on living life to the full, to keep on living out their faith. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, the Lord declares, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." While verses 5 to 9 assert the reality of exile and the responsibility of being fully engaged with it, verses 10 to 14 move the horizon of Judah beyond exile to assert the hope of return from exile. Therefore, the promise is now on the promise of homecoming. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, God has a long-term plan for Judah that is not defeated by a particular historical circumstance. God's thoughts for his people were fixed. They were for their welfare, not their hurt, and for the future they hoped for. Therefore, it was important for Judah not to lose sight of this future hope, but instead focus on the Lord's gracious promise. In Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 14, the emphasis is now on the instruction to the exiles to call upon and to pray and to seek Lord with all their heart. God had seemed to the exiles to be hidden, absent, unavailable, and ineffective. Therefore, the emphasis now is on the accessibility of God. Judah must reorientate its life in exile. It's only when Judah turned, prayed, and sought the Lord with all their heart that the Lord could be found. When Judah repents, Judah will find Yahweh faithful, available, ready and able to save. Obedience, loyalty and fellowship were fundamental. Therefore, it was important for Judah to demonstrate obedience and recognize the Lord as the one who could give them hope and a future. Precisely in a situation of hopelessness, God is announced to be the one who will overcome hopelessness and open up a new possibility for Judah. The exiles will be brought back from captivity and will be gathered from all the nations and places where they had been sent and will return back to their homeland. This is an assertion of the gospel. God is available in the midst of despair and will override both the despair and the circumstances which generate it. So what can we conclude just from these words today that can, again, just encourage us on our journey? In this account of God's people being taken into exile, we are presented from the text that in times of crisis, God is still present. Particularly when we might feel abandoned, when we might feel isolated, and when we might feel vulnerable, God is still present. And it's very clear that in such challenging circumstances, we should make the most of every opportunity to live faithfully, as well as to pray and seek the Lord in such difficult times. Maybe for some of us this morning, we are personally facing big challenges, and we're not quite sure what to do, which way to go. My encouragement to you is to know that God is with you in the challenge that you face. He is right there beside you. God is present. And though life might be hard and life might be difficult, I just want to encourage you to keep on living faithfully before God. As we were thinking about early, to continue to bring him our praise, recognizing who he is and all that he has done for us and continues to do for us. We can do that personally, but I think here is a lesson for us as a church too, that even when we face challenges and difficulties as a church family, that we recognize that God is in our midst, that he is with us, and that it's important for us to continue to live faithfully in all that God is calling us to do together. And as I've been here a number of times now, I am so excited by what God is doing in this church and through this church in this community. When we see how the pantry has developed and the pantry is growing and the pantry is reaching out and people are coming through the doors here. When you think about the other areas of outreach that you have here, God is working amongst you. You might feel at times that this is hard, and it is hard, but my encouragement to you is to know that God is present with you. Keep on being faithful to him, living faithfully before him. Keep on praying and seeking him with all your heart in such difficult times. Chester and Timmis suggest that to ask God for things is a profound act of faith. It is a recognition of his majesty, his goodness, and his power. Prayer is the bedrock of confidence in God. It was in Jeremiah's day, and it remains a key to seeking God with all one's heart. Chester and Tim suggest that these simple prayers truly express trust in divine majesty and truly confess our need before God. How much we need to depend on God day by day, week by week, month by month. There's that old hymn, "Every hour I need him." How much do we need God in our lives today? And my encouragement to you is if there are any amongst us this morning who do not know God, who do not know what it means to have a relationship with God, then my encouragement to you is to seek out a close Christian friend or leader who can journey with you and help you understand what it means to trust in God, to have a relationship with God. And as believers, I think there's a lesson here that we need to again and again and again recognize our need of him, to seek God with all our hearts in these challenging times that we're living. I've probably said this again and again in my earlier visits. We are living in challenging times. We can recognize that within our churches, but we can also recognize that with what we see happening across this country and around the world. And it's so important that we just continue to pray, to live faithfully, to seek the Lord our God with all our hearts. And I just want to close with these words as I lead into a final prayer this morning. Just again, recognizing that God is the one in whom we can trust. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Just be reminded of these words that we'll be singing in just a moment. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And some further words. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these words that we have reflected upon together today. And Lord, we ask that we might draw from these words encouragement for our journey, both individually and corporately as a church. We thank you, Lord, that however we might be feeling today, whether we might feel that we're going through difficult times, I pray, Lord, that we might be reminded that you are with us, that you are in our midst, that right in the middle of crisis, you are still present. And I pray, Lord, that for any of us who might feel that we're going through a crisis at this time, Lord, I pray that we might continue to live faithfully before you, both individually and as a church. Lord, I pray that in such times that we might continue to seek you with all our hearts, that we might continue to pour out our hearts to you, knowing that you are present, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you are good. And I just pray again dearly for my brothers and sisters here before me, Lord, that as they continue to serve you here within this church and this community, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to enable them, Lord, to live faithfully for you, to make the most of every opportunity to serve you, knowing, Lord, that you are present, and knowing, Lord, that you are one that they can depend upon, that they can trust. For you, Lord, know the plans you have for us. Lord, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Lord, I thank you for the plans that you have for Southcote Family Church. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to lead my brothers and sisters here before me further into your purposes, that your kingdom might come, that your will might be done here on earth as it is in heaven, for your praise and glory. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Lord, thank you. Amen.